Blog Talk Radio.
Los Angeles comes the new provocative thoughts and positive vibrations with Tommy Bahamas and friends. And now, Los Angeles, Orange County, and the world. The new provocative thoughts and positive vibrations with Tommy Bahamas and friends is on the air.
Well, welcome back to the show, folks. That was the fabulous Mona Lisa Twins singing their hit, June. We do apologize for the technical glitches we're having on our end, but it's been a trying set of few weeks. We do have a full show for you today. We're going to do our best to give you some updated news of some of the things that's happened, but we are honored to bring back our friend Don Coffeen of Ambassador Ministries. Don has been with us since the beginning.
That's true. He has. Way back to the Hollywood days.
Truth. It's very true.
LA Talk Radio.
We are absolutely honored to have him with us today to share his story and about his ministry and what Ambassador Ministries is doing currently. We hope you will enjoy the broadcast, and we're going to get into a little bit of our intro. We apologize for the delay and things. The listener lines are open for you guys to call in, 516-595-8269. The chat rooms are also open for you on the internet. We welcome our listeners over in England, Sweden, Iceland, and Finland. The listeners over in Israel, Pakistan, Kazakhstan, and finally, the truly dedicated listeners who are just waking up over in Thailand, New Zealand, and Australia. Africa, yeah. So the chat rooms are already lighting up, as we can see, and we thank you guys for participating in today's show. Listen, we want to send a special thank you out to our mentors, brother and sister David, Cindy Murdoch, David's big brother, Dr. Mike Murdoch, Larry and Tiz Huck, Marcus and Joni Lamb, Pastor Anna Sweet, Pastor Paula White, as well as brother Joe Pernito, Jerry Savelle, and our guest today, our mentor, Don Coffeen. We want to thank the bottom of our hearts for being part of our story and changing our lives. And that's part of the reason that we talk about it at this point is because of the book that's coming up. And you know what? I'm just going to stop where we're at because it's been a very trying few weeks for Lois and I. And part of the reason you haven't seen us on the air has been because...
partially technology.
No, the technology has been an issue, but we've had some... something occur in our personal lives, and we're very private people, and we've been very quiet for a reason. We lost our baby, and this is really the first time publicly we've spoken about it, and well, it's heartbreaking. It's devastating, and I hope you guys will respect us. We don't really know what to say. It's been a few weeks, and we really don't.
We don't want to talk.
We don't
want to
talk about it. We don't really
have
anything
to
say.
You know? A lot of people are asking how I'm doing, and we just, you know, I've been avoiding the question.
We are very grateful for the love and friendship that we have from all of you listeners, as well as our family and our people who have been part of our story. But it's a very hard time, and it's. Something we felt compelled and led by the Lord to speak about today. Before we bring Don on, we just wanted to publicly say thank you to the people who have reached out to us and sent their love. And if we sound a little melancholy, it's there's a reason for it, because we are. I don't know. I guess that's it. We really don't know what to say about it, let alone...
We just would appreciate everybody's prayers and thoughts.
At this time, yes. We respect... We respect your thoughts on the matter and send the love that you guys have been sending to us through messages and such. So we're going to change the subject real quick. Normally we get into a whole plethora of things about what's going on with the show and what's happening, but we're going to talk to you today about something a little bit different before Don comes on. We decided in our personal life to go on what they call a cleanse. Now, if you remember at the beginning of this season, we had Miss Kelly Ruella, Kelly Scott Ruella on with us, and she talked about nutritional cleansing and the benefits therein. Well, it's taken the better part of a year, and Lois and I have taken the plunge, so to speak. So this is our eighth day, and it's how do you feel, Lois?
Honestly, I feel actually very energized and different. I feel lighter, not as bloated. And I won't lie, I'm a little hungry because we're doing our deep cleanse day today and tomorrow. So it's a little different for me. But I'm feeling pretty good. We got through the first week, and I'm excited to see the results.
Well, we will have results for you guys and keep you tabbed as we go on this journey. The reason I only bring... Excuse me, I can't speak today. The only reason I bring it up is that at half past the hour, Lois and I are going to live right at the beginning of our show with our segment with Don. Have to take our final cleanse drink of the day, and you guys get to share it with us. We didn't plan it that way, but life happens. So that being said, this is the Isogenics Challenge. We're doing a 30-day cleanse where we clean from the inside out all of the toxins and stuff out of our bodies, and all of the visceral fat and stuff away from the major organs of our body. And we thought that if this works, it'd be something that maybe you guys would be interested in too. We're going to be our own test subjects, if you will, to test the product. And I've seen tremendous results in many of my friends and people I respect and love. And so we decided to do something right for ourselves after what I was just talking about has occurred. And I feel pretty much focused. I found myself excelling at work, which I'm very happy with the work that we're doing right now. And so that being said, folks, we just wanted to share with you what's been going on. We did not want to do the usual bit of what we were doing, and I found myself falling right in that rut. Let me tell you a little backstory. Our guest today is one of the original guests that we had on season one.
Right
from the LA Talk Radio studios. Don was there with us. He was in studio with us. And
two times.
Actually, that's right. He was there with us talking about his own personal book.
And then Author Palooza
with Brother Joe Pernito.
Which was a fun day.
Every time we ever spent with Joe and with Don. And for the most of the times we had at the LA Talk Radio studios, I would say probably all of the times we had, it was a blessing.
It's true.
And once we got away from our heathen ways and got back to basics, the show has evolved, and here we are 4 years later. And Don has gone through a tremendous amount of things in his time since he's been away from the show. And we
Very
are absolutely honored and happy to have him with us today. And,
so are we ready to bring him on?
We are. Because the technology is going up one more time.
Ladies and gentlemen, without further ado, whatever that means.
Hello.
Are you with us, Doc?
I am with you. How are you guys doing?
Great.
God bless you. Welcome to the show again.
Thank you so much. It's good to hear your voice, Tommy, Lewis. It's been a while.
It's true. Way too long.
Way too long.
And when I heard the story about the baby that you lost, my heart was really broken. And for those that know you, know how important that was. And so we cry for you, and we hurt for you as well. We know what you're going through.
Thank you, Don. You know, I mean, we really haven't wanted to speak much about it, and we haven't really wanted to. I mean, I can only say that I guess the best word to use is a little numb. And, you know, it's, well, I don't know. I mean, there's good moments, bad moments. What I can say is this, it's brought us closer together.
Yeah.
And it's brought us in a position where the last few weeks has been trying to redirect the path and get back to basics, back to the Lord. And you can never go wrong with that.
Yeah. If I could pull the pastor card on you guys, just want to remind you, that you have committed your life to a God of restoration. And even though we might not see the purpose or the meaning that comes along with one of these huge hurts, do know this, that God does know what we feel. He is going to bring purpose to this. It might be next month, next year. It could be a lot of things. But we know that we have a God of restoration that's not only cheering for us, rooting for us, but he's going before us. And he's going to take that hurt, and he's going to take that pain, and he's going to turn it into rejoicing and excitement and purpose. And I want to be close to you guys when that happens. And so I've prayed for you guys, and I know that God is going to have some tremendous things that happen through this. So the Lord bless you guys.
Thank you, Don.
Thank you, Don. You know, I mean, as I was talking to you about this previous, it's been so odd for us, because in the midst of everything that has happened, we are being blessed, and we're being blessed again with right across the board. You know, our work and our career, we're excelling. As I was just saying just a couple of minutes ago, we've regained our focus, and God is redirecting our path back to each other and back to Him. And we've been blessed in another way, since we're both working now financially. We're back to being back on our feet, and there is so many things in so many areas that it's difficult in some ways. Forgive me for saying it this way, Lois, to be upset, because we are being blessed in the midst of heartbreak.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I can only speak for myself to say I feel myself being drawn closer to Lois and to the Lord, we have
people
faith
in your life. Yeah. Amen.
Well, you know, it's funny. You know, we were talking just recently about scripture and about cleaving to your wife and leaving your mother and father and such. And in the process of doing so, it was so easy for me to look at Lois and for her to look back at me and say, God did the right thing when He put us together, because we're so perfect for each other in so many ways. And now we work together. A lot of people say you can't work with your spouse. No, we've been blessed. Before we were ever married, you know, we were friends, and then we were business associates. She was my personal assistant. Then she was my roommate and my co-host and my friend. And some people say we did it the right way. I say we did it the only way. We left it in God's hands, and we moved forward every day. So.
Yeah. Well, way to go. That was thank you for sharing that with me, you guys. That was awesome. That was awesome. God's greater than our hearts, so we know that before long the hurt's not going to be holding on to us as tightly, and our joy and love for God is going to overshadow the hard times. So I'll be praying for you guys.
Very true. Thank you, Don. You know, that's
welcome.
Part of the reason we were grateful that we had this show lined up, because we haven't been isolating ourselves, but we have been keeping very quiet, and that's not like either one of us. And I made a commitment to myself and to Lois and to the Lord that by the 1st of May, we were going to be doing what we needed to do. I'm not going to let it take that long, of course, but I started talking to her about just feeling a distance between the Lord and ourselves. And there's nothing particular wrong. It's just a matter of, I guess, dealing with the emotional side of being human. There's part of us that wants to comprehend things, and part of us that wants to rationalize and fix things. And when there is no explanation outside of that, it's a matter of faith, I guess.
Yeah, sometimes we feel like beating the floor, jumping up and down, screaming, God, why me? Why did this happen? And in the midst of that, and this is the amazing thing about God, in the midst of Him knowing about our hurts, we have access to Him. We can go to Him in prayer, and we can allow Him to comfort us through these hard times. And that's one thing I'm excited about as a believer, is no matter what I'm going through, I always have access to Christ through prayer, always.
It's very true.
So I'm going to just encourage you guys and love on you and pray for you as often as I can remember. And there'll come a time when the two of you will say, this is what God intended for us. And you'll share it with the world, and it'll be a testimony that will help encourage and strengthen everybody who hears.
Praise
God.
I
think I just prophesied over you. I think. I don't know. It sounded like I did. So
sounded like it to me, too. Don, you know, it's been a long time since you were on the show with us, and I'm sure there are lots of people that remember us from season one. But we'd like you to give, in your own words, an update as to what happens from then until now and the launch of Ambassador Ministries. And you can describe what Ambassador Ministries is and what they do.
Sure, no problem. Well, missions has been on my heart for years and years and years. And without going through every single item of what got me to here, I can just kind of break it down in this way. God was directing me, refining me, and preparing me. And when I say me, I'm talking about Deborah, my wife, as well, us. So I'm going to change it to the us. Preparing us and refining us and equipping us for what we feel is the last great mission for our lives. We're not 25 anymore. We wanted to and have always wanted to seek out a ministry that would carry us into the twilight years of our life. We feel 110% confident that Ambassador Ministries is it. We have seen the accumulation of hard times, trials, lessons come like a laser beam of focus to what we're doing here with Ambassador Ministries. So here's what Ambassador Ministries is. We are a nonprofit organization that seeks out causes around the world. We presently have four, which I'll tell you about. But what we do is we come alongside of them. We see what they need, how we can help them. We bring them financial support, material support, personnel support, and we join up with them in this effort, in this cause that they're taking on, wherever they happen to be. Every single one of the causes that we presently have, they all have different things that they make them unique from the other, but there's always one thing that makes them united. The people we work with and the organizations and causes we come alongside, they have a heart for the lost, a heart for the hurting, and a heart for Jesus. Those are the things that are in common with the causes that we look for and work with, and we found those. We found one in Sierra Leone. We're working with an orphanage that's dealing with the Ebola crisis, dealing with water shortages, food shortages. Pretty much every day that they exist, the hand of God has got to intervene to keep them alive and well. In South Sudan, a country that's almost entirely like a refugee state, we work with pastors that every night they cross the border into Uganda. They bring as many pieces of clothes and food that they can carry. They sneak back into South Sudan while it's still dark. They get to the refugee camps. They get to the widows, the orphans, and they distribute these items to them to keep them alive. These are men and women who are serving God literally with their lives on the line. They are in harm's way. And because of their heart and commitment to Christ, we come alongside of them and we help support them and work with them. The other ministry we work with is in Burma, Myanmar. There is a lady there who's been working with a people called the Karen. The Karen people are very ostracized by the country of Myanmar, so they have to be protected. The villages need schools, medical care, nurses, teachers. And so this woman, I'm not going to mention her name, she goes into areas and she brings those things to the village kids, the ones that will never get education, never get medical treatment. So we're working with her with financial support. I have been there. I've walked with her. I've crossed rivers. I've held kids in my arms that had never seen somebody like me before. I've laid hands on them. I've prayed for the nurses, the teachers. It's an incredible ministry, so we are honored to come alongside them. The other one is in the Philippines. The Philippines is an amazing place, you guys. God is pouring out his spirit in a huge way. There's an organization called the Mike Keys Ministries International, which is on the island of Mindanao, and they have been doing a work there for over 30 years, delivering the hand of God through evangelism, through prayer, through healing, through food. The humanitarian needs that are so desperate in some of those outlying villages, they are bringing them right to the huts, to the very huts. So we've been working with Mike Keys and his wife, Ethel, for a while.
I'm aware of the ministry. And they're very well known.
Oh, you know the Mike Keys ministry then?
Yes, I do.
Yeah.
Yes, I do.
Yeah, they're an incredible organization. My wife and I My wife Deborah and I, we had the privilege of actually, in fact, several times, working with the leaders and the pastors of the Mike Keyes Ministry. If you want to see true pastors who have a heart that have laid everything down for the Lord, you don't go any farther than the Mike Keyes compound and the pastors he works with. They are an inspiration. They're incredible. You spend 5 minutes talking to them, and you hope you could be like them. They're that amazing for the kingdom. So those are our four causes presently. We are looking to begin working soon with a Pastor Friday in Nigeria. He's presently working on an orphanage for not only regular school children, but for special needs children as well. And in addition to the international causes that we work with, we're looking to begin to work with a men's ranch. There's one right here in California in the high desert. It's started by the River's Edge Church. It's called the River's Edge Ranch. And they take men, and there's a lot of them, that have been hurt by society, or they have drug issues, or they have addiction problems, and they are getting no breaks at all. Well, we're taking them in. We're helping them. We're encouraging them. And we're helping them to be the leaders, the fathers, and the Christian men that God created them to be. It's called the River's Edge Ranch, and it's an incredible ministry. We've just started to work with them. We hope it expands even more. So we've got great things going right now, guys, with our four causes. We're looking to add two more. And I think, guys, I've got the greatest job in the world. I've got my wife alongside of me. God's alongside of me. We're able to do some tangible things for people around the world. And I'm honored to have two friends like you guys, too. So I got the best job in the world.
You know, it's funny. I feel exactly the same. When we were doing what we were doing solely 5 days a week, it was one thing, but working with my wife and being able to work with my wife and actually wanting to work with my wife, this is not a bad thing. Listen, we're going to take a two-second breakaway just so we can talk, as I was just telling the people before. Lois and I, we had at the beginning of our season, everybody goes through a period of adjustment when they get to a certain age. We're not going to talk about age. We're just going to talk about how you feel. And as you get to a certain point, you recognize that you don't feel like you did when you were 15 or 20 or in your, you know, before. Well, we're not going to go into how, but before you hit the age, so to speak. And one thing for certain, we all have a fluctuation in our sleep, in our weight, in our diet, in our exercise. And we have seen countless commercials on television of people who have come, you know, they have lawsuits going out against people who have heart disease and plaque buildup and all these things, scaring everyone around. Well, we had at the beginning of our show, season four, a friend of mine I've known for 20 years. Mm-hmm. And she came on the show and spoke about the need for a nutritional cleanse. And the cleanse that we are doing is through a company called Isogenics. And what that basically means, folks, is they have developed a system by which you get to clean the visceral fat around your major organs away, and it purifies and detoxifies the system. It's not as harsh on the body as doing an outright fast. But it is something that is built and made to detoxify all the impurities within the body that we build up over a lifetime. That being said, after the loss of the baby, Lois and I had talked about it, and we are currently on day 8. And one of the things that they ask you to do for the first 2 weeks, on the sixth and seventh day, they ask you to do a fast. And you drink this stuff. It's called Cleanse for Life. And four times a day, every 4 hours, you drink about 4 ounces of this stuff. And you drink 32 ounces every couple of, every 4 hours or so of water just to keep your body hydrated. And we are at that time where Lois and I are actually going to do this little bit of cleanse on the air with you guys. We will keep you updated as to how we are physically, mentally, spiritually, and how it's affecting us. But you should see the look on Lois's face as she's drinking this.
I hope it does everything you hoped it does.
We do too. Don was actually a participant with us on one of the
with
the Arctic Zero Challenge.
Remember the Arctic Zero Challenge, Don?
I remember that, yes. And I also remember the line that Brother Joe said on the air. Do you remember that on accident?
Oh,
yes. Yes, I remember.
God bless him.
Every time we have him on the show, we have no choice but to say, and the Girl Scouts will.
Oh, goodness. So
anyway,
one of those slips.
Listen, we apologize from taking away from the show for a second, but we had spoken to the public about it, and we want to keep them abreast of this because if it actually works, and but not if it when it actually works. The people I know who are friends have known for a lifetime, some of them going back to school, high school, the result it's having on their bodies and the 30 days and you see like night and day these people's body are readjusting themselves. And I can tell you being on day 8, I feel much different. I have a sharpness at work that I haven't had since I was a very a younger man. But anyway, let's get back to today's show. Don, many people who listen to the show around the world would probably want to know a little bit more about what is the actual mission fields. We hear stories, you know, we see commercials on TV, help save the children and feed the poor and stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. The mission field, as described by Christ in the book of Acts, it's Judea, which would be it would be Jerusalem, which is like your immediate neighborhood and the people you come in contact with. Judea, which might be your entire city, and then Samaria, which could be the county or the state, and then the outermost parts of the earth, which would be the international mission field. All of them are a mission field. All of them are loved and cared for by Christ, none above the other. Some people are called locally. Some people are called to a distance. Some people work in multiple aspects of the mission field. So the location is pretty much everywhere. God gives people gifts in certain ways to work in certain areas, and they just have a better flow, say, locally versus internationally. So wherever God has gifted you, wherever God has given you a heart to go, that's where you go. So the mission field is any place that you go to show the goodness of God and to tell them how much Jesus loves them. The best way to share the gospel, of course, is to live the gospel, to show the gospel.
Amen.
In Romans chapter 2, it says, "Is it not the goodness of God that leads men to repentance?" So when that transformation has taken place in your life, when you've dedicated yourself to Christ, you can't help but show the transformation. You can't help but show the goodness of God. And that's what turns people's head. That's what gets them to turn toward the things of God. So it's really important that you understand that everywhere you go, there is a mission field. And there is a place that we need to show the goodness of God. So that's the mission field. Did that help answer the question?
Yes,
absolutely.
Okay,
yeah.
Good.
Well, Don, you know, we've been blessed to have had contact with you over the time that you know since season one and since the writing of your book. I know you have
sure.
a second one in progress, but
I do.
What brought you to your desire to be involved? I mean, what interests you, what got you interested in the missions?
Okay, in the mission field, and that is a very good question. I mentioned earlier how God gives everyone gifts, and that gift could be one of teaching, it could be preaching, being a pastor, but they aren't limited to just the fivefold ministry gifts. There's other gifts like being an artist or a singer or a good writer. And God wants us to excel in those gifts for not only yourself, but for the kingdom of God especially. So here's what really grabbed my heart. I know what God wanted me to be doing as a believer, and I knew what he's gifted me to do in the ministry. And when I was actually in the mission field internationally, those gifts just seemed to come to the surface and excel. My ability to teach, to preach, laying hands on people, going places with boldness, courage, and faith, they just seemed to be magnified tenfold when I was actually in the international mission field. And so that kind of confirmed this is where God wants me to focus my heart, my prayers, my studying, my dedication, everything into the international mission field. So the best way to describe it is I have never felt more at home than I was when I crossed an old rice paddy in Philippines doing something simple that God wanted me to do. That's where I felt at home. That's where I felt at peace. That's where the joy and excitement of God just seemed to echo throughout my body. So that's why I decided to do what I do.
Wow, that's incredible. You know, yeah. I've always been blessed to being brought up in the church to see. We used to have once a year, we had a missionary weekend, and we had whole different missionaries from all over the globe. Actually, you know what? If I'm not mistaken, I think it was a whole week that we had all different. Every night there was a different missionary from different places in the world in the missions field. And I've always thought and dreamt about doing what you just said. You know, being from the Bahamas myself it's a different missions field. My dad originally came from the Bahamas to go to Bible college here in America to be an ambassador or a missionary to America. And back in those days, I guess they had a different perspective and idea of what a missionary actually was. And things have evolved so much. So you're saying that through ambassador ministries, individuals can get involved and actually go on mission trips themselves.
Yes, we're working with several organizations. In fact, we don't always go out just as the entire team is all ambassador ministries. We think it's important that organizations that have the same heart, that have the same call, work together.
That makes sense.
We don't want to compete. We want to bring the kingdom of God to the world united. So,
yes.
For example, we have one of our board of directors. He went to Costa Rica. We helped him get there. Representing Ambassador Ministries, he worked with another mission organization and did excellent. Deborah and I think it was maybe 3-4 weeks ago, we went to the Yucatan with a mission organization. So it was Ambassador Ministries going to the Mayan Indians, and we were there praying, laying on hands, sharing the gospel. So we think it's important that people, if they have a heart and they know they're being drawn to it, that they go with an organization that God is putting on their heart. That's why we choose to not only do what we do privately, but also join up with other people. One of the things, and I'm going to slip this little cue in here, is the body of Christ needs to be seen as united by the world. No longer can we be competing with each other for TV time, radio time, the bigger crowds, the most saved, the biggest buildings. It's time that the church was united with one goal and mission, and that's presenting the good news of Jesus Christ. In whatever manner is needed, we need to be united and focused and preparing for the coming of our King.
So praise God, that's right.
That's my little two cents in there about unity.
No, we're with you, and that's one of the reasons, as you know, we do this show, and we believe everything deserves to spread the gospel and to bring the peace of the gospel to every living thing on the planet.
Absolutely.
You know, it's funny, Don, because you talked earlier to us about the purpose from everything that's gone down the last few weeks when that's going to come to us, and for a really long time right now, we've been talking about going to Israel.
Yeah.
And there's an opportunity in November, right? November or September?
There's one in September and there's one in November.
With that opportunity, we would have never, with a newborn,
that's true. It would have been very difficult with a newborn.
And maybe that's, you know, maybe the purpose is that we are not meant to be grounded here in our home. I don't know, but I know that that's something we would not have been able to do if we had a newborn.
Yeah, the thing about purpose that I've discovered, in fact, I'll tell you, there's things that have happened in my life that I still can't put my finger on. This was the exact purpose. But this I can tell you with great assuredness. The purpose is still proceeding. You are sharing things with people. You are being a certain way with people, and God is using what you went through. And though you might not see the entire purpose of the event, God has a way of bringing the good where there doesn't seem to be any good. He has a way of shining where it seems like it's just darkness. And so that's where you guys are at right now. You've come through a situation that would break anybody's heart. And you're making the step toward Christ. You're turning toward Christ fully in faith, knowing that soon and very soon the purpose for what happened is going to be seen. And knowing this, that it is absolutely going to be bringing fruit, even, this is the great thing about God, there will be fruit and great things coming from what happened to you guys before you even know it. God, you ready for this? God can work without us. Isn't that amazing? We don't have to be in the midst. He doesn't. But when you turn toward Christ in the situation that you have, the clarity, the joy of you being children of God, it comes to the forefront. Is it still painful? Yeah. I'm hurting for you guys. Is it difficult to talk about? Yeah. But now that you're turning 100% fully to Christ, you know without a shadow of a doubt that purpose is going to come from this, and it's going to be for the betterment of those who are involved in it and for the kingdom of God. And so it's so important that you guys stay focused. And as far as going to Israel, I don't even have to pray about that. You guys need to go. I'm not going to go before the throne. Should Tommy and Lois go? No, if you guys have a chance to go to Israel, you should go. Let me tell you, I have never been there. I've been a lot of places in the world. And Deborah and I have had a chance to go last year, but scheduling and stuff made it impossible. But yeah. Everyone I talk to says when they are there and they are praying and they're in the presence of God and they're worshiping in the Holy Land, there's just something about being there with God that can't be described. And that promise holds true for his kids. When they go to the Promised Land and they seek God and they go to the Temple Wall and they go to Masada and they go to En Gedi and they go to the Sea of Galilee and they go to the Jordan River, all the places that are written about with such color and great nuance, to actually be there and see it and have a tangible imprint under your heart, soul, mind, and spirit while you're singing out loud. A friend of mine said he couldn't help but sing at the top of his lungs when he was standing in En Gedi. And so, yeah, so I hope I've sold you. You guys got to go. So,
well, that's a missions trip that we've been praying about and we've been dreaming about. And now we have an opportunity to you know, going back real briefly, and then we're going to get back to the interview. I believe that God works all things together for good. Always for the better of the good. Even though we may not understand his purpose, it's always in his time and his will. And the blessings and the opportunities, when the scripture says seek ye first and all these things will be added unto you, it's the truth. You know, it's the level of desire that we have in our heart that makes the difference in our hunger. And it's ironic that we say that, you know, being a little hungry at the moment. We have a different kind of hunger in our spirit, which brings us back to what we were saying. You know, when a person were, if what would they experience on their first mission trip, Don?
Well, let's take what we consider to be a local mission trip to, say, Tecate, Mexico, which we are going to be going to next Saturday. We are going as a mission group. We're going to be going to a men's home, men that have been pulled off the street. They've gone through rehab. Pastors there continue to pray for them, encourage them. They get them through the physical withdrawals of what they're addicted to. They get them grounded and rooted in the things of Christ. We are also going to spend time at a small church set up by a pastor right on the edge of the city dump. And there are people that actually live there. And so they've set up a church to bring in families and children, and they need help. They need people to come in and help them financially and food-wise. And so we're going to be going there. There's also a group of us that are going to be going to the men's prison. So that's what we're going to be doing. So what a person would do is when they go on the first trip, we'd have an orientation for them, letting them know all the things that will be taking place. Would ask them their comfort level, make sure they have their passport, make sure that they're prayed up and prepared to go work and represent Christ. And then through discernment and experience, we'll help them get plugged into a particular area of ministry and help that they could bring. For example, it may be a young couple in their early 20s. They might want to spend time at the small church next to the dump. If it's somebody who has addiction problems and they can convey how God can bring victory, they might want to go to the men's home. Yeah. And then internationally, distance-wise, Africa, the Philippines, don't look at it as a vacation. Don't look at it as a tourist trip. You are truly going to work for the kingdom of God. When you go into different areas of the world to minister, you got to have your A game. I'll be honest with you. When people want to go and work in like Liberia, Sierra Leone, South Sudan, they got to be prayed up. They got to be close to God. They have to know what God has called them to do, and then they execute what God tells them to do with faith, boldness, and courage, and trust. And then here's the thing about doing that. There's an excitement and a joy that can only come from being in a place where God has called you. And I don't want people to not catch that. There is a joy and an excitement in being where God has called you and doing His work. And it will change their life forever.
Well, yeah, I can tell you this, folks. When you have found your calling in life, everything is better. I only speak from my personal experience because I searched most of my life for it. And also having that sensitivity and discernment you were just talking about, Don, about being able to hear and sense the presence of what to do and how to proceed. And we don't always know. We don't always know what the next thing to do is. We have to have faith and move forward. And that's where I was kind of going before. The one thing I've learned over my life, and I'm more grateful today than ever, is that God never taught me to – I was never taught to give up.
Even
no matter what the Lord might spin at me, I know there's a reason for it. And it's even when I can't see the clouds, I can still know the sun is there. You know, and
well put.
So that being said,
sure.
You've mentioned the places that the Ambassador Ministries has been in the past, and part of the places that you've gone to yourself. Where is Ambassador Ministries planning to go in 2015 and 16?
Well, we have I mentioned Tecate. We're going to go to Tecate. It's about a 3.5-4-hour drive from our home, as often as we can. We have mission trips planned to the Dominican Republic, mission trips planned to the Philippines, the island of Mindanao. We are trying to get to South Sudan to work with the refugees. We're also looking to hopefully, Lord willing, go to Nigeria with a couple of our board of directors. So that's what we have for 2015. 2016, we're hoping to get to Sierra Leone. And from there, we're just wide open to wherever God wants to open up a door. He's given my wife and I an extra measure of boldness and courage. Even when the funds aren't there, God still sends us, and it seems to come in, and the supplies and the materials seem to come along with it. So,
thanks, God.
And I did want to say something real quick. If anybody is interested in getting questions answered that maybe you didn't bring up or they haven't had a chance, they could go to our blog. We've got a large blog that can open up areas of conversation with us and answer a lot of questions. And if I may give the address for that, it's www.ambministries.org/blog. And they can go there, they can get to our website, they can see our videos. But, you know, you and I could spend 7-8 hours talking about the things that we've done and we're going to do, but we can't reach it all. We can't do it all in the 1 hour that we have together. So they can go there and get additional questions answered and probably get more questions if they read about the things that we're doing.
Well, just so you know, Don, we've opened the gates on the time so we can talk until we don't want to speak any longer.
Okay.
Yeah,
no,
that's one of the great things about being away from, and I don't mean this in a disrespectful to Sam, but we were very isolated in our time at LA Talk Radio. Here, we get to speak until, you know, we get across what the Spirit, whatever has been pressed on our hearts for the day.
Mostly.
And that gives us the better, we get about an hour and a half.
Okay,
so
great.
We still have plenty of time, and
fantastic.
Absolutely, let the I mean, the only thing would be when you want to end. So
sure.
That being
said, I never get tired talking about God and some of His works. If time allows, I can even tell you some amazing, incredible things that I've seen God do. Never here in the United States, only overseas. And so if we have time in a conversation, I'd love to bring some of those up. So,
well, what would you say has been the most amazing thing you've encountered and seen or been a part of while you've been on a mission trip?
Oh, good question. I was in the Philippines. It was, I think, about a year and a half ago. I was with the Mike Keyes Ministry, and my wife and I were working with some of the kids in the school that they had right on the compound, kind of a small seminary type setting. And they assigned me to teenagers. I think one was 16 and one was 17, a boy and a girl. And they knew the local dialect. Like, for example, on the island of Mindanao, there might be three or four or five different dialects. These kids knew the dialects. So they took us to a small little village, and we headed straight east. And so we're walking along, and we're sharing with a few people. We're praying for a few people. About 15, 20 minutes have gone by. And then we go in front of this huge, gigantic rice paddy. And it's probably the size of 4 or 5 football fields combined together in one area. And you have these real small little rice paddy paths that you walk. They're about a foot wide, about 3 inches above the water. And it's no place people our age would want to go. So we're crossing this thing. And here's my choice. I can continue on the big path I'm on, and I know there's going to be more small little villages and huts up there, or I can cross all of these rice paddies on this little path and go to this small village of about 8 or 9 little huts on the other side, a good quarter of a mile, maybe 3/8 of a mile away. So I was kind of torn there for a second. And so all of a sudden it hit me. Nobody came to watch Babe Ruth bunt. So I decided I'm going across the rice paddy. But there was two things that opposed it. One, the two teenage kids didn't want to go with me. They thought that was a horrible idea. And the other one was there was this red water buffalo looking thing. I think it's called a caribou, right in front of the path. So there's two things that were trying to stop me. So I told the kids, I just looked at them, I said, hey, I'm going across. So I started walking toward the bull, and this bull turned out to be the laziest bull in the entire world. Or my guardian angel just put his hand on top of him, because he barely blinked at me when I stepped over him. And so we stepped over him, and we crossed the rice paddy, and we got to the other side. Ready for this? Dry. This thing looked like one of those gymnast beams, that the kids walk on. That's how small it seemed while I was on it. So I made it. And as soon as we got there, a couple came up to me, and they were pulling a child along the way. And they came right up to me. And I think they sensed that I was a pastor or a Christian. And in their language, they asked if I could pray for her. And she had an obvious broken collarbone. It was almost compound. So I asked if I could lay hands on her, and they said yes. So I'm praying for her, and I'm sensing God's presence. Did I see an immediate healing? No. So as I was continuing to pray and I was seeking God, I heard somebody running up alongside of us, and I looked, and there was a man probably about 35, and he was shouting in his language that we had to come with him to pray for his grandmother. And so I stopped. I told the couple I would come back, but I had to go over here. So I followed this man and the two teenage kids that were with us to this small little house. It was probably the equivalent of a small living room here in the United States. We walk in, and there's this immediate heaviness in the air. And in the middle of the room is this little lady. She looked to be 100 if she was a day, curled up in a little ball, just beating the floor. I mean, she had lost her mind I don't know how many years ago. Her hands were all bruised up. She just sat there and beat the floor. So her son asked if I could pray for her and help her. And I thought, okay, I can do this. So I took some oil. I brought some anointing oil with me. I thought, I'm going to go big guns here. I might even pray in King James because this looks pretty serious. So anyway, I anointed my hands with oil and I put them on her and I began to pray. And I poured everything I had into her and nothing happened. For 4 or 5 minutes, I prayed everything I could think of. Nothing changed. So I stood up and I felt God put this on my heart. You walk in my authority. And I knew what to do. At that very moment, I commanded any evil spirits, anything that was binding this home spiritually away from God, to be cast out of the house and to never come back. And I said it with authority out loud in English. And all of a sudden, this peace just kind of came over the whole house. I mean, you could almost sense it. And so when I turned back to her, her name was Keiling, by the way, K-I-L-I-N-G. When I turned back to Keiling, as soon as I touched her, I mean, I just touched her. I didn't feel any tingles. I didn't hear thunder, didn't see lightning. She stood up and started to sing.
Wow.
And then the two teenagers that were with me started to cry. In fact, I'm starting to feel like I want to cry right now because I remember what happened. So she started to sing, and she was singing songs about Jesus and singing songs about being able to see. And she turned and she, now mind you, she was not only out of her mind, she had been blind and deaf for years. In fact, her eyes were completely grayed over. And so when she stood up and she was singing, she looked at me, and I think maybe she was 4'10". She reached up, grabbed my face, and started kissing my forehead, kissing my cheek. They were talking to her. She was responding. It was the most amazing thing I'd ever seen God do. And that taught me so much, you guys, about the power we walk in as believers and just how much God wants to heal. So we prayed for them. Everybody in the family asked Christ into their heart. Now, we're leaving this little house. And by now, everybody in this little village is outside of their little huts. And so we told them, salvation has come to Keeling's home. She has been healed, and later tonight we're going to have a small crusade at the next village over. We want all of you there. And so we waved goodbye, and we headed back across the rice paddy, the little paths, and we were just so privileged and humbled that God had used us in that way. But here's the powerful part. The whole village came, you guys. The whole village came to the small crusade we had, and they waited, and then they came forward and gave their life to Christ. Salvation came, and it came at the laying hands on a little lady named Keiling. I still remember her face vividly. And so you talk about purpose. Could it be that God was waiting for myself and those two teenagers to cross that rice paddy, to lay hands on her when nobody else could help her, to bring salvation to that village? The answer is yes.
Yes.
The answer to that is yes. If you were to ask her, was it worth the years of being blind and deaf to see yourself, your family, and the entire village come to Christ, she would have said yes. So, and here's something else that happened, guys, from this. And this is, I'm just going to be true confession time here. Here in the United States, when I'm praying for somebody when they're sick or they need a special healing, I don't see it happening like I do overseas.
Yeah.
And so when I would be here praying for people, and I'm a pastor and I'd lay hands on people, they would be thinking, and so would I, well, if God doesn't heal them, they can always go to the doctor tomorrow. That type of a thought process.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But overseas, in the Philippines, in Liberia, and all these other places, they don't have that. They've got the dependency on God and God alone, and that faith is a catalyst for the healing that God is so willing to give. And so I learned at that point, because of Keiling, that when I pray for somebody and it seems like it's an impossibility, there's no more fear, there's no more doubt, there's only courage, boldness, and let's go. So that not only, what I went through with Keiling, not only helped that village, that community, but for this one particular Christian man, it increased my faith to the point. And it's only God, because faith is a gift. It increased my faith to a point where I could literally lay hands on people and know without a shadow of doubt that God is going to heal them.
Well,
that's a big thing.
that's
a big thing.
That you have to have 150% faith, and like you said, they had no other options. That was it. There was no other thought in their, like you said, they can't just go to the doctor tomorrow or go take some medicine.
Yeah, it's funny. Every single day, Lois and I, in the midst of our prayers and devotions that we take first thing in the morning, we thank God for that ability and for having that authority and dominion restored to us.
Oh, yes.
I've been blessed myself to have been in a situation like that where I felt called, literally called by the Spirit, and have been healed physically of Crohn's disease and stuff that was tormenting me.
And
Lois, there's been a couple times where I had an issue with my throat, and a pill got lodged in my chest, not down, you know, in my stomach. And Lois, I'm going to tell you, I'm not trying to pump you up, Lois, but this woman spoke with authority, and she put her hand on my throat, and she spoke, and I like got up off the floor, and I was so grateful for that power and that healing.
Amen.
And that each of us have, folks. Each one of us has.
As believers, absolutely. And the enemy, the devil, doesn't want us to know that, Tommy, Lois.
Yeah.
He doesn't want to know that in the name of Jesus and in the power of his blood, we can do tremendous things for the kingdom.
It's the truth.
And we can speak and walk and serve and minister in the authority that Christ has given us. And the enemy knows that. And he shudders and shakes at the thought of it. So he tries to convince us that it's not so. But it is so.
That's right.
It is so. Well, I'm glad you're still with us. That little pill didn't take you down. Way to go.
Yeah, me too.
Well,
yeah,
The stuff that Don, I don't even know if you know this. The doctors told me literally they put me on what killed Marilyn Monroe, and they told me, Mr. Bethel, I'm sorry, there's nothing we can do for you. I hope you're right with your maker. Go home and get prepared to die. And they looked at my parents and they said the best you can do is get him comfortable, and if he gets any worse, take him to the hospital. So we went into a 2 month. I heard this the voice of the Spirit, but I lived not in faith like I ought to have, and it was a very torturous 2 months. That's all I can tell you. And God works in such miraculous, incredible ways. I'm so grateful.
Amen. So, I'm glad you're here too.
Well, it's part of our testimony and part of our story, and God has blessed us in so many ways over the years. And it was about being patient and trusting and obeying and having faith and moving forward and never taking what life has thrown at us, taking it for granted, or not recognized very quickly that there was a reason that God had directed us to where we are today.
Amen.
But that being said, if somebody was interested to go on a missions trip, what could they possibly expect?
Well, each mission trip is different. I think I mentioned it before. Like what we would be doing in Tecate would be far different than what we're doing in South Sudan or Sierra Leone or Burma. But the initial thing is we would need to talk to them to make sure they're truly called.
Right.
Now, even though God calls them to the mission field, is he going to call them to South Sudan? I don't know. That's between them and God. So one of the things we'd do is spend some time talking with them, getting to know them, making sure that they're 100% positive. Then we'd put them through an orientation to make sure they're prepared for the trip. We encourage them to go on the internet, take a look at the culture, the foods, the different things that they do. We let them know about the sacrifice that it will take, the loss of work time, finances, whatever it happens to be. We make sure that they're ready on our side. And then we would encourage them, as I mentioned before, to get close to God. There's no stronger weapon against the world, against the enemy, against sin, against our own flesh than our closeness with God.
Amen.
That goes for all of us. And so we'd encourage them to do that. And that also let them know the joy and the excitement of being used by God. When you're in the mission field, and all the people who are on the line right now listening, and they've been in the mission field, they know what I'm about to say. When you are in the mission field, being used by God, and it can only be attributed to God, all of the stuff that you've ever gone through, trial-wise, affliction-wise, everything just seems to fade away. It just seems to go. And so when you're in that closeness with God, in that place of being used in His power, and that's all that could be attributed to is His power, everything about the negative stuff of your life just becomes a memory. And the excitement and the joy of being used by God overshadows everything. When you think about that, the creator of heaven and earth, and when I say heaven, I'm not just talking about from here to the sun. I'm talking about the universe. I'm talking about the thousands and thousands and thousands of light years of travel to get to the stars that God created and the galaxies that He put into motion. That God longs to bless you, and He waits for you to come to Him and can't wait to use you in His plans. Isn't that awesome? That same God can't wait to bless you, and He loves chances to make you go, man, wow, my God is so cool. Excuse the paraphrase. My God is so awesome. He can't wait to wow you and excite you. And when I share that, sometimes non-believers don't get it. Believers get it. You guys got it. Those whose names are written in the book of life, those who know their sins have been forgiven, those who've said yes to Jesus Christ, they understand. It sparks a brand new spirit inside of them. So I'm sharing this with you as believers. Non-believers might not get it as much, but I can tell you and all the listeners, there's no greater place to be than in the hands and the arms of the one who gave His life for you.
Amen.
So,
that's right.
Greater place to be. I mean, period. I mean, you know, before I became a Christian, I used to think, what a boring existence they must have. Nothing could be farther from the truth. Nothing. To think of our Creator going out of His way to show you how great He is, how much He loves you, and to use you, that alone, just the thought of that being possible, should spur people to say yes to Christ. So God is good, isn't He? Isn't He awesome?
He really is, you know.
Yeah,
having that individual desire, it's a personal journey, you know. That's the whole pertinence of the Pilgrim's Progress. And
yes.
We each individually have our own path to walk, but the great news is that we don't walk it alone, and that we are here as a party of the body of Christ to work together, as you were saying earlier, in unity. And it's important for us to know, no matter what life throws at us, that there is purpose, there is reason, even when we can't understand it. God never finishes on a negative, and we may not know what tomorrow holds, but we know who holds tomorrow.
That's right.
That's true.
For that reason, folks, we say, as we do every show, you know, to seek with the wholeness and the purpose of your heart, and God will never let you down. His word will never return to a void. And that being said, His promises are truth, and I can only speak through everything that we've gone through in our story. God continues to bless us in ways that I never thought imaginable, and despite the heartache I have, I cannot honestly say I have never been happier in my life than I am as where God has brought us and the things He's doing today.
Amen.
And that is a serious testimony, if anybody who knows me. But that being said, we've come a long way, and we wanted to share this with you folks, because not only do we believe in Ambassador Ministries, but in Don himself and the ministry that God has called him to do. So, Don, how do they get involved with what you're doing?
Sure.
You know,
there's we're one of the few ministries that, if you go to our website, and it's ambministries.org, we have contact information. And the phone number that we have there on the contact, it goes right to my desk or forwards to my cell phone. So you don't have to go through a secretary or a whole line of people. You get right to me. And so that's one of the ways we'd recommend you doing that. Go into our causes. Once you log on to ambministries.org, we've got our causes. We show exactly what we do, and we invite people to be a part of it, mostly through prayer. We encourage, of course, financial donations, because somebody's got to pay the light bill around here, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And so donations are very crucial. And then also what we would need from them if they were to join us on a trip. So those things are all at our website. They're also on our blog. So here's what I'd encourage the listeners here, or those on the radio show to do. Come visit us. Check us out. Give us a call. Drop us an email. At least let us help them know exactly how to pray for us. And that's important. When they know exactly what we are going to be doing and the risk factor, because I didn't tell you this before, but most of the places we go into harm's way. And I don't like saying that, but we covet your prayers. And so when the people come to our website, ambministries.org, they'll have an opportunity to see exactly what we do. And so we covet the comments, the communications. We even have an area for prayer requests. We can pray for them. We have a pretty solid website and a blog to help people get involved. We'll even help them if they need to make a decision about getting involved in international missions versus local missions. We'll help them because we aren't here, honestly, to promote Pastor Don and his wife. We're here to promote the kingdom of God and Jesus Christ, period. John 3:30 makes it real clear when John the Baptist said, "He must increase, but I must decrease." So in everything we do, you guys, in everything that you guys do, let's make sure that they see Christ in all of our work and in the goodness of God seen in the way that we treat them, talk with them, work with them. Give us an opportunity to show you the goodness of God. That's what we really, really seek to do. So go to our website, see what we do. We even have a great musician who's helped us with our video named Richard Andrew. Fantastic, totally gifted musician. The first word out of his mouth, you can sense the anointing of God. He's on our website with some of our videos. So it's a great place to go visit, spend some time, get a prayer request in, and possibly join us.
Hey, Don, you mentioned about the phone number people can call to get to you directly. You want to share that with them as well?
Sure. It's area code 951-247-5118.
Well, we have time to share one more story, if you would, of the things that you've seen, the blessings that God has bestowed on your mission journeys.
Okay. Let me see. Which one should I share? Liberia. I was invited by the Salvation Army to go to northern Liberia. There was a village way north of the capital city of Monrovia. And we went there, and they told me there's a lot of spiritual things going on here. It's not going to be like any place you've ever gone. So we just wanted to warn you before we go. And, of course, I'm like, okay, no problem. I got this, you know. Well, here's what I got to deal with. When we got there, there was literally 80 or 90 women all carrying babies the same age, about 9 months old. So I'll let your mind go to that. They're all were the same age. And they lived in literal mud huts. Yes, in 2000, I think it was 13 or 2014, there's actual people still living in mud huts in these very rural villages. And so they had this one mud hut, more of a mud center. It had enough room to seat about maybe 70 or 80 people, half of which sat on the floor and the other half sat on these very crude benches. These people had actually come to hear a Bible study, to be prayed for, and to be examined medically. That's what I was invited to do with the Salvation Army. But here's what I didn't expect. This guy came walking in just before I started. He looked to be maybe 80 years old. Hair is completely silver. He was wearing some sort of animal skin. He had a long shaft. He had some sort of teeth all around in his neck. He had a bone in his hair. And he had light blue eyes, and his skin was jet black.
Wow.
And he sat right in front of me in the front row. Let me correct that. He walked up to the front, and everybody cleared out an area for him, and then he sat down. And the moment he sat down, he just stared at me, every hair on my body just went on end. It's like, oh my gosh. And I without even asking anybody, I knew this was a real, honest to goodness African witch doctor. And he's sitting 5 feet in front of me. And he's staring at me. This guy's mad dogging me, you guys. And I'm trying to share the gospel and talk about Jesus, and this guy's just mad dogging me like crazy. So while I was there, I said a prayer just under my breath. Lord Jesus, I want to teach a different message. And here's the message he gave me. Teach on the blood of Jesus and its power. And so all these scriptures started coming to my mind. On the spot, I put together, please don't ask me how, other than the Holy Spirit, a message on the blood of Christ. Well, 10, 12 minutes into the message, this African witch doctor could take it no more. He stood up, he shook. I don't know if he huffed and puffed, but he just stared me down and then trotted out through the mud hut, talking about the blood of Jesus and its power and its authority and what it does in a person's life, drove that demonically filled man out. And I got to once again watch the power of the blood of Jesus, even verbally spoken, go into practice. But here's the amazing thing. The look on everybody's face, it was just like totally relaxed. As soon as he left, there was a relaxation that came in the room. And so afterwards, they lined up. I prayed for them. There was 10 or 12 visible healings right then. Some of them weren't. Some of them came back later and said that they were healed as they started, because we always gave them instruction. Thank God continuously for your miracle and for your healing, and it's there. God wants to heal. And so a lot of people came back. So the reason I think of that one is just talking about the blood of Jesus drove out a demonic man, a witch doctor who practices black arts. It just drove him out in a rage. And part of me was like, oh yeah, that's my God. And then the other part of me is, it's not me. It's God and the Holy Spirit working through me, and that's it. So there was an excitement because I drove him out, but then it was also a humbleness. Realize it's the blood of Christ that does all this. It's not me. So that's another story, and I could tell you some others, and they're not all about healing, though the Bible says signs and wonders will follow. A lot of times there's stories of the person who seems will never come to Christ will hear a word or see a face or get a hug, and it allows the Holy Spirit to enter that heart and to begin to transform it. And that, to me, honestly, there's no greater miracle than having the Holy Spirit touch a man's heart and on the spot make it brand new and begin a transformation. Touching a man's heart, soul, and mind, to me, is a bigger miracle than me praying for Ki Ling or chasing out that witch doctor. Heaven, and here's the thing, as awesome as that is and as amazing it is, it's available to everybody to ask Christ into their heart. It's available for everybody to say, yes, Jesus, I want you as my Lord and Savior. It's available. And so I hope there's people on this show that are hearing this and the Holy Spirit's tugging on their heart and it's saying it's time to come home. It's time to come and be with the one who created you. I'm hoping that hearts are being stirred right now with that, because that's why we're here, you guys, just to share the message and the goodness of Christ.
Well, Don, if you wouldn't mind, before as we wrap up the show, why don't you extend the prayer of salvation to our listeners around the world?
Oh, that would be fantastic. That would be fantastic. All right, guys, if you're driving, at least keep one eye open. What we're going to literally do, guys, is we're going to go into prayer. And the Bible says that we actually go before the throne room of God, and I'm going to invite you to join me in this. The Bible says, Romans 10:13, those that call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved, and we're going to do that right now. So I'm going to lead you into a simple prayer of salvation. These aren't magic words. These aren't said in King James. There's nothing overly powerful about them other than this. It's given you an opportunity to verbally say yes to Christ and to make a commitment. So I'm going to go ahead and pray this prayer slowly. And if you've never done this before, I want you to pray it out loud after me. Mean it from your heart And as you are writing, as you guys are saying it, your name's being written in the book of life, and the Bible even says that the angels rejoice. So here we go. Take a breath. Father, I call on your name.
Father, I call on your name.
I confess I'm a sinner.
I confess I'm a sinner.
I need you in my life.
I need you in my life.
I believe in my heart.
I believe in my heart.
And confess with my lips.
And confess with my lips.
That Jesus died for my sins.
That Jesus died for my sins.
And rose from the grave.
And rose from the grave.
Jesus, come into my heart.
Jesus, come into my heart.
Be my Lord.
Be my Lord.
My Master.
My Master.
And my Savior.
And my Savior.
I commit my life to you now.
I commit my life to you now.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
All right. All right. And I want to encourage everybody who prayed that prayer, or even prayed that as a rededication, get a Bible. Go find a Bible if you don't have one. Go to a bookstore, buy one. Find a Bible, crack it open, and start with the book of John. And go through at least one chapter a day, and let's get acquainted with the one who gave his life to us, Jesus Christ. And
praise
then find
God.
A good local church, a place that can have good Bible studies, people that you could work with, serve with, and love. Here's what I know for sure. If we spend time reading and praying and going to church and committing our lives to Christ, 95% of the battles that we used to face will just fall by the wayside. So for those of you who prayed that prayer, start reading your Bible, find a great church, and be ready, because God's going to do some amazing things in your life.
That's the truth. It's the truth. Don, thank you so much for being with us today. It's always a pleasure to have you on and an honor to have you with us. Folks, you heard it right here. www.ambministries.org. And the phone number, we're going to post it on the group page as well. And 951-247-5118 will link you directly to Don and Ambassador Ministries. Don, God bless you and the family tonight. We do thank you for being with us this afternoon. We are always welcome to let us know as things are going on and the needs of Ambassador Ministries, and we will gladly welcome you back on. And we support and love you very much, you and Deborah. And we'll say goodbye on that note.
All right. Well, the honor and pleasure has really been all mine, guys, to reconnect. Yeah, every 4 years, rain or shine, we seem to get together, huh?
Sure.
God bless you, Don.
You bless me. God bless you guys.
God bless you.
Have a great evening now. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Well, there you have it, folks. Don Coffeen, our friend, our mentor, our minister, and the founder of Ambassador Ministries. It's always a pleasure to have him with us. And we hope that this portion of the show has blessed you guys. And we will continue to replay this show throughout the next few days. The middle of next week.
And you can always catch any show that we do on the archives.
That's correct.
At Blog Talk Radio, and just search T.L. Bethel or Provocative Thoughts and Positive Vibrations.
This is correct. Or you can just Google it.
Google it.
Correct. And if you're on Facebook, folks, you can look. We do have the Provocative Thoughts and Positive Vibrations website group page through them, and our tlbethel.com. where we do have the links. If it's something that you've heard today that you want to help us and sow a seed to keep the show on the air and to continue to bless the kingdom of God, go to tlbethel.com. There is a link there as well. That being said, we do appreciate the love and support we've got from our friends and our family and our loved ones around the world in this time. And we thank Don Coffeen for coming on today, for being our friend and our mentor, and for blessing the entire planet in the missions field for the kingdom of God. I'm not going to apologize for the change in the format. I think it was necessary. But we want to say, as we do every show, we do have some contests You can contact us directly at tlbethel@tlbethel.com. You can get me at positivevibes1014@gmail.com. Just put in the subject line what you want to speak about, and we will talk to you continue to work with you and bless you. And if you want to call the studio direct, you can get us at 424-281-9822. That being said, we do thank the winner of this year's listener contest for an ending for our show, Mr. Sean Smoshek, personal friend and longtime Navy buddy of mine. And we welcome you back to the show as we intend to come back to you next Saturday with the lineup of guests and the blessings of God. That being said, Lois and I say, as we say at the end of every show to you guys,
take it easy.
Provocative thoughts, positive vibrations. Not your average, ordinary radio station. Not your average, ordinary DJ. It's Tommy Bahamas and the love of his life, his wife LJ. Coming at you across the globe. USA. Give them a call, even if you only want to say hello. They'd love to have you being a guest on their radio show. Provocative thoughts, positive vibration. Provocative thoughts, positive vibrations. Provocative thoughts, positive vibrations.